Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Shlomo, Pesach Ben Dov, Meir Ben Yecheskel, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to the questions of our great JTFers, of course we're going to speak about the presidential election that was held this past week and the unfortunate results of that election. The final popular vote nationally was Obama 51%, Romney 48%. It was 51% to 48%, which means a swing of just 2% of the vote and Mitt Romney would have won the popular vote. As far as the Electoral College, a similar picture. There, a swing of 3 or 4% in the swing states would have given Mitt Romney a victory. He would have won in Florida, Ohio, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Colorado, New Hampshire, more than enough to capture 270 electoral votes, which is what you need to get elected. So a swing of a few points in the Electoral College swing states and a swing of just 2% of the vote in the national popular vote would have given Mitt Romney a victory. It was, in fact, a relatively close election. What went wrong? How could Barack Hussein Osama, who presides over an economy that is in terrible shape, who has been a dismal failure in every area as president, how could a creature like this get reelected to the presidency? How is it possible? Well, first of all, what happened in this election is precisely what we said and warned about when we opposed Mitt Romney in the Republican primaries. You remember in the Republican primaries and caucuses, we said that if the Republicans nominate Mitt Romney, there's going to be a much lower turnout. We did videos explaining why we thought there would be a much lower turnout among the Republican base, among white voters, among the voters that Republicans have to win, because there has to be a large turnout to win. And this was a turnout election in the end. In the end, it was not about the moderate independents and the centrist voters and the women in the suburbs. That is not what it was about. It was about turnout. There was a very low turnout for Mitt Romney and the Republicans. 6.6 million fewer white voters came to the polls than in 2008 when John McCain was the Republican nominee. When John McCain was the Republican nominee, there was a low turnout because Republicans and conservatives and white voters were very unenthusiastic about John McCain. Mitt Romney actually wound up pulling 6.6 million fewer white voters to the polls than John McCain succeeded in doing in 2008. It was just absolutely unbelievable. The turnout was awful. And there were all types of reasons for that. But the main reason is the Democrats and the news media and Barack Hussein Obama succeeded in defining Mitt Romney. And he did not go on a counterattack that was effective. JTF ran the right campaign. The Democrats, the news media, and Obama threw everything at Romney. They called him a vulture capitalist. They claimed he just went in to destroy jobs when he was in Bain Capital. They claimed that he was going to raise taxes on the middle class, which wasn't true, that he would raise taxes on the middle class by thousands of dollars in order to pay for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. All lies. But they ran this campaign successfully because Mitt Romney was always on the defensive and never hit them back. He allowed them to put him on the defensive for most of the campaign. If you're on the defensive, you lose. That's the way it works in politics and in life. The best defense is a good offense. That is a rule that should be followed in life and in politics. When you're under unfair attack, you go on the attack against your opposition. Look at the situation we had ourselves in. Look at how politically correct and insane this world has become. Barack Hussein Obama, the news media, and the Democrats were allowed to tell every lie under the book about Mitt Romney. But he was not allowed to tell the truth about them. The truth. Unlike them, I'm not saying that we should have lied. I'm not saying we should have lied. Absolutely not. We should have told the truth. The truth about Barack Hussein Obama being a Muslim. The truth about Barack Hussein Obama hating white people. We should have run commercials like JTF did on our videos, where you hear Barack Hussein Obama in his own voice attacking the white race and attacking white people in a way that would that sounds like Louis Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright. You see why he attended a racist anti-Semitic church for 20 years when you listen to the videos where he's attacking white people in his own voice. He's calling white people cruel and arrogant and calling them all types of names and greedy. He's favorably quoting Jeremiah Wright when Jeremiah Wright attacks Whitey. In his own voice, he's doing this while he's reading from his book that he published. Can you imagine if this had been in television commercials? I could assure you, 97 or 98% of the American people never heard those statements that Obama made against white people. They never heard that. They never became aware of that. And so they went into the polls thinking that this is a race between a liberal Democrat and a conservative Republican, and the Democrat favors this and the Republican favors that, and it's an election about taxes and the budget and foreign policy and these other issues, when in fact it was an election about someone who wants to destroy America and destroy Western civilization and wants his fellow Muslims to take over. That's what the election really is all about. If they knew, if white working class voters who voted for Obama, and moreover, if the white working class voters who didn't bother to vote, huge numbers who didn't bother to vote in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida and Virginia and Michigan and Wisconsin and Colorado and Nevada, if they had been exposed to what Obama's really all about, it would have scared the living daylights out of them. And they would have turned out in larger numbers. The media would have screamed racism and Obama and all the others and MSNBC. They would have been saying it's racist. How terrible. How could you say this? Just like they said when George Bush's father, when George Bush Sr. ran a campaign regarding Willie Horton, a black murderer and a black rapist. He ran a campaign with campaign commercials showing this picture of this black murderer and this black rapist over and over again in campaign commercials against Michael Dukakis in the 1988 presidential election. And what happened was Bush was way behind in the polls. Dukakis was leading by 17%. By 17%. That's a much bigger lead than Obama ever had over Romney at any time. Dukakis was headed toward a landslide victory. And then the Bush campaign began a politically incorrect campaign of attacking him with Willie Horton because he let this murderer out on furlough and the murderer then went out and raped a white woman in Maryland. That's what the story was about. And the Bush campaign mercilessly, relentlessly showed Willie Horton's black face on TV over and over again and said, this is what Michael Dukakis is all about. This is what you want to elect to the presidency? Instead of Bush losing by a landslide, which is what the polls showed was going to happen in the summer of 1988, Bush won by a landslide. He carried 40 out of the 50 states and won by a landslide. The media to this day claims that that was racist, it was terrible, but Bush won. Who cares what the media says? Bush won. In 1980, Ronald Reagan didn't run a nice campaign against Jimmy Carter. Never. Ronald Reagan attacked Jimmy Carter relentlessly and beat him in a landslide as well. And so, you know, we could cite many other examples. Even in 2004, look at what they did to John Kerry, the Democrat candidate in 2004. They went after his record in Vietnam. He was supposed to be a big war hero and highly decorated veteran. They went after that record and said, baloney. They went after him and were not afraid to go after him and beat him. Kerry was also supposed to win. He was also ahead. He beat Bush. Kerry beat Bush in the debates. Kerry won those debates easily. And so Bush was down and he was supposed to lose. Bush and the Republicans and the conservative organizations relentlessly attacked Kerry. Relentlessly. It went after his war record and went after went after him on every single level. Called him the most left-wing member of the Senate from Massachusetts and attacked him relentlessly. And said he wasn't really a war hero, that all of this was just doctored. What happened? Bush beat Kerry in 2004. And so, if you're willing to ignore the media and ignore what they're going to say about you and just go after your opponent the way you should, That's how you win an election. If you're going to play by the rules that your opposition sets for you, the opposition says you're not allowed to say Obama's a Muslim. You're not allowed to even mention his middle name. You're not allowed to say that he's an anti-white racist. You're not allowed to talk about Jeremiah Wright. You're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that. Of course, if you're going to play by their rules, if they're going to set the agenda for you and tell you what you can and cannot do, of course you're going to lose. Because they're going to set the rules in a way where you have no chance of winning. And that's exactly what Romney and the Republicans and the so-called conservatives fell for. It was pathetic. It was pathetic. Look at JTF's campaign. Look at the difference between the commercials that Romney ran, which were so ineffective and so pathetic. Karl Rove, Bush's former honcho, the big genius behind the Bush campaigns, who's really just an imbecile. He's not an imbecile. He's just a politically correct coward and an establishment zero. He spent $300 million. $300 million he raised and spent, Karl Rove, on his PACs. He had a PAC. $300 million on television commercials. His television commercials were awful. They were so mild and so pathetic and so politically correct and so gentle and so concerned about offending the moderates and the independents and this and the soccer moms. He was so worried about that. His commercials did nothing, nothing to help Mitt Romney. Nothing. It was $300 million down the toilet. The Romney commercials were awful. The commercials that the Romney campaign itself put forward, because Karl Rove ran commercials as an independent political PAC. The Romney campaign itself did a terrible campaign. The commercials from the Romney campaign were awful. Awful. JTF's videos. You saw those videos. Weren't those videos powerful? Weren't they convincing? Weren't they biting? Weren't they hard-hitting? Those were the type of things that should have been presented to the American people. Can you imagine if the average American had received a campaign like JTF's campaign, over and over again being shown that Obama's a Muslim, that he's an anti-Semite, that he's an anti-white racist, that he agrees with Jeremiah Wright, that he went to Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March, that he's a socialist, that he's going to destroy the American economy. All the things that we said in those videos, can you imagine if the American people over and over again were getting that as the message? Do you think the results of the election would be the same? Are you kidding? The reason the media goes so crazy anytime ever anyone mentions Jeremiah Wright or Muslim or any of these other issues is because they know the potential effect of that. They know that even a left-wing poll showed that 69% of Americans said they would not vote for a Muslim for president. 69% said they would not vote for a Muslim for president. If we could get Americans to even seriously think that Obama's a Muslim, you know how damaging that could be? Or it could have been? And if people would be afraid for the future of their country, if people would be afraid that their country is going to be taken over by wild beasts, wild third world beasts, which is what's going to happen to America, the way America's going now. If white voters were convinced of that, I guarantee you, that would motivate them to get out and vote. If they really thought that. Instead, they thought, Romney, this very rich guy, running against Obama, who's just, a pretty liberal Democrat, a fairly liberal Democrat. I don't even want to vote. What's the big deal? I don't have anything in, I don't like either one of them. That was the attitude. That would not be the attitude if they thought this was Obama, a Farrakhan, Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, black racist, whose very election threatens the very survival of American Western civilization. If they thought that was the issue, I guarantee you they'd be more motivated to vote. Enough of them would turn out to make a difference. We could have won this thing. We could have won this thing. But you know how many years I've been banging my head against the wall, talking to the wall in most cases, but you know how many years I've been saying, if only we had the resources, what a difference we could make. And you don't realize how much we're going to suffer and how terrible it is that JTF is not getting those resources. I've said this for years. You've heard me say it for years, and I've been saying it actually for decades. And before me, our great leader, הרב מאיר דוד כהנא זכר צדיק וקדוש לברכה השם ייקום דמו. He was saying it before me. What a price we pay. What a price we pay that the Sheldon Adelsons and all the billionaires give their money to Karl Rove instead of giving their money to JTF. What a price we pay. Well, that's the situation, but you saw it with your own eyes. You know with your own eyes the difference between JTF's anti-Obama campaign and the Romney campaign, which I can't even call an anti-Obama campaign because it wasn't anti-Obama. Romney said that Obama's a nice guy, but he's in over his head. He's a wonderful family man. He's a wonderful father. He's a very nice guy. He's a patriot, but he's in over his head. Those are all lies. Those are all lies. Obama's an evil, immoral, vicious, Muslim, racist, Jew-hating beast. He's not a nice guy. He's a vicious beast. He's a beast, his wife is a beast, and the animals in his campaign are beasts. And the media are beasts. And too bad if it's politically incorrect and it offends the independents and the moderates and the soccer moms and all the other groups in the middle that don't like negative campaigning. Oh, give me a break. That is what works. Because the American people were entitled to the truth. People are entitled to the truth, and they never got the truth. They haven't gotten the truth for decades now. That's why America is going down the drain. And so we proved that we're the right movement, but the people with the money and the power don't see it that way. And so this is where we're stuck. Now look, here's another example. Let me give you another example. And I know my opening is going to be very long for obvious reasons this week, because I think we have to start taking in these lessons and understanding what's involved here. So this is going to be a very long opening. What is the Republican establishment that we're supposed to trust and believe in? What did they learn from all of this, from this election? What's the lesson they learned from the defeat at the polls? You know what they learned? They learned, oh no, Latinos voted against us. That means we have to get the Latino vote. And how do we get the Latino vote? Legalizing all the illegal aliens. Giving amnesty to 20 million illegal aliens. That's 20. So we're going to have millions and millions of new voters who are going to become citizens. They'll become new voters for the Democrats. But no, maybe they'll vote Republican because they'll be grateful to the Republicans for giving them amnesty. If that were true, they'd already be Republicans because Ronald Reagan gave them amnesty in 1986. And Republicans like George W. Bush have been advocating amnesty for years. That hasn't given us Latino votes. That didn't make them grateful. The majority of Latinos voted against the Republicans in every single election. And I'm not saying we shouldn't appeal to Latino voters. We should. There are Latino voters who do agree with some of the principles that we stand for. There are Latino voters who are pro-life. There are Latino voters who are against gay marriage. There are Latino voters who are evangelicals or who would be pro-Israel. There are Latino voters who can't stand blacks and Muslims. I know some. I personally know some. Some of them are friends of mine, whom I grew up with. Those Latinos are going to vote for us anyway. And we should appeal to them. We should appeal to them. But to try to buy the Latino vote by legalizing 20 million illegal aliens and basically saying, okay, we're going to allow America to become a magnet for all the third world people in the world now. They're all going to come rushing into the country once that happens. We're going to let America very quickly turn into a third world nation with a third world non-white majority. That's the answer? That's what they learned? We lost because whites were only 72% of the vote in this election. So the lesson Republicans learned is to make it so that instead of 72%, whites are going to be 45 or 40% of the vote. That's the lesson these geniuses in the Republican establishment learned. This is insanity. This is insanity. And it's House Speaker John Boehner and the Republican leaders in the House and the Senate that are talking about this, about how we have to now have an amnesty program, which they call immigration reform. And it's not just them. Sean Hannity, Charles Krauthammer, Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, all of them have been saying we've got to reach out to the Latinos by legalizing all the illegals and basically inviting the whole world to come to the United States. All the third world people are coming to the United States. So that America will have a non-white majority very quickly. That's the solution? Do any of you have any doubt what this country will be like when that happens? Do you think a conservative Republican candidate will ever get elected president if that happens? We already see what happens in a state like California, where Latinos have become a huge factor in the elections. They turned what was a conservative Republican state in the days of Ronald Reagan into a state that is so left-wing. In the past few elections, Democrats automatically get over 60% of the vote in California. They just got two-thirds of the state legislature is now Democrat in California. The Democrats control every single office in the state now. Every major statewide office, and they have two-thirds of the state legislature. They have a veto-proof majority. I mean, the state is facing fiscal ruin because of their policies of constantly raising taxes, increasing spending, giving in to the labor unions, giving away the whole state, taxing the so-called rich. And so what happens is the rich leave California and go to other places, and so California is going to be a poor state. And what they call the rich, by the way, is also the middle class. So the solution that the Republican establishment offers us, and that John Boehner and Charles Krauthammer and Sean Hannity and Rupert Murdoch and Fox and all the others tell us, they say the solution is to give amnesty to all the illegal aliens and basically let America become a third world banana republic. That's the solution. Let me tell you what JTF's solution is. Number one, throw all illegal aliens out. Round up 20 million illegal aliens and throw them out. Now, I know that this isn't going to happen because both parties are against it because they're both cowards. But I'm telling you what the sensible, logical solution would be and what Republicans could propose successfully. And if they had gotten elected and proposed this and did this, if Romney had gotten elected and pursued the policy I'm about to give you, and it's a very realistic policy, if he had pursued this policy, it would save America and Western civilization. Here we go. Number one, the illegal aliens, the president doesn't need any other further power for this. Illegal aliens are here illegally. A president has the power to round them up and throw them all out. A President Romney could have done that. He could have thrown out millions upon millions of illegal aliens, and that would have discouraged others from wanting to come here. That's number one. Number two, build a fence and create a system with tamper-proof Social Security cards so that you can't get a job unless you're here legally. Unless you're a legal citizen, you can't get a job. That's something that could have been done easily. Also, send employers to prison who employ illegal aliens. Put them in prison. That'll scare the living daylights out of any sane employer. It's not worth going. Maybe you could pay illegal aliens. You get away with paying them lower salaries, which is why people hire them. But it wouldn't be worth it if in the end they see examples of some of them actually getting indicted and going to prison. That would not be worth it just to be able to pay a lower salary. Put them in prison. Put employers in prison that employ illegal aliens. Arrest them, indict them, put them in prison, make examples of them. And create tamper-proof Social Security cards so that people can't get away with defrauding the system and pretending that they're here legally. And again, building a fence on the border, that can make a big difference. And after you've created a situation where you've expelled 20 million illegal aliens, where you've created a situation where they can't get jobs here, where employers are afraid to hire them, where people don't want to come here anymore because they see that America is a country that's hostile to illegal aliens, and it should be known that America's hostile to people who want to come here illegally. You're damn right. After you've done all that, you might say, well, even through their birth rate, they have a higher birth rate, they're still going to become a majority eventually. There's a solution even to that. Encourage tens of millions of white Europeans to immigrate to the United States. Europe is in terrible trouble right now. Encourage the Irish, the Italians, the Dutch, the English. Encourage all these people from Europe to come to America. White Europeans should be encouraged to move to America. We can get I mean, if you just bring in a few million a year, you know what a difference that'll make in population growth? Make a tremendous difference. And put them on the fast track to citizenship. Those voters will vote Republican. They'll vote Republican. Don't you wish JTF were in charge? Anyway, it would be great if JTF Gentiles, of course, JTF Jews don't want to be in charge of America. We're not allowed to be. We're supposed to, our place is in Israel. But if JTF Gentiles were running America, that would be our program, and I guarantee you, America would never, never become a third world country if that happened. On the contrary, every year you'd see the white population percentage increasing and the third world population decreasing, and America would become more and more Republican. A candidate like Obama wouldn't stand a chance if that, after several years of a policy like that. It would be the Democrats would be saying, what do we got to do to move to the center and do this and move to the right and we can't get elected now. It would be the Democrats who would be in that quandary. Instead, it's the Republicans that are in that quandary because America is slipping into oblivion. If only. If only we had the resources. How many years have we said this? Haven't you seen it with your own eyes, JTFers? Haven't you seen with your own eyes, now more than ever, the truth in what we've said all these years? In your heart, you know we're right. And in your guts, you know they're nuts. And aren't you proud of JTF? Aren't you proud to be... Yeah, the election was lost. We couldn't control that. 120 million people voting. I mean, that, with our pathetic budget, we couldn't reach enough people to stop that. But we tried our best. You saw how hard Shlomo and I and other JTFers worked. You saw how hard we worked, how many videos we uploaded and how hard we worked and the quality we put out, and the arguments we made. We gave it all our heart. Aren't you proud of JTF? You should be proud to be a JTFer. You should be proud that at least your movement and your organization stood for the truth. Even if we lost, even if people didn't listen at the end, you know we were right. And there's a lot to be proud of in that. You know that we have principles and that we're delivering a message that is the right message. And that's something to be proud of. Because you see, the Jews are supposed to be Or La'amim. Or La'amim, which is what God commands and the God in the Bible commands the Jews to be, means a light unto the nations. You know what JTF is? JTF is what the Jews should be. JTF is what the Jews are supposed to be. JTF is a light unto the nations. The other Jewish organizations are darkness. The Hollywood Jews, the news media Jews, they're darkness. But JTF and the Kahanist Jews, they really are a light unto the nations. Can you imagine what a better world this would be if the JTF Jews were the dominant force of Jews in the world? You know Obama wouldn't have a chance in a world like that. I know that it's a difficult situation, an evil situation, and that there's disappointment. Of course we're disappointed. Of course we wish it had turned out differently. But we can't give up and we can't surrender. We have, the fight has to go on. We're not allowed to be silent. We're not allowed to stop. We are telling the truth. And the truth must be told no matter what. Even if the odds are against us, we've got to tell the truth. Remember, I always said this was an uphill fight. I always said the odds are against us. I certainly was not surprised. I was disappointed in what happened on Election Day, but I was not surprised. In fact, everybody that I spoke to, when I spoke to people, when people were speaking to me and asking me, Chaim, what do you think is going to happen? I told people that I thought we were going to lose. That I was very pessimistic. That I thought the polls were right. In fact, the polls, some of the polls like Rasmussen were actually too favorable toward Romney. And I had a feeling that was true. I had a sense that this was happening. I didn't want to go too public with it and create and disrupt the morale of the, because you don't do that in the middle of a campaign. You disrupt the morale of the campaign. But I think you could sense when I kept saying the odds are against us, we're the underdogs. I said that all the time since the beginning. I've said that. I obviously was not surprised by the results. But if you want the message of JTF to reach more people, and if you want us to succeed, and if you want us to build something, and if you will continue fighting with us because you refuse to be silent, because you refuse to give in, because you refuse to accept injustice, because you insist that at least there be voices of truth to tell the truth, and because you believe God's promise that in the end the good people are going to win. In the end, the good people are going to win. I don't know if that includes America. God did not promise that America is going to survive. God only promised Israel is going to survive. He didn't promise that America is going to survive. He did promise that the righteous Gentiles are going to survive. But who knows, does that include America? It certainly doesn't include the people who voted for Obama. They're certainly not righteous. If you want the one organization that is a light unto the nations, that does act the way Jews are supposed to act, and that tells the world what Jews are, the message, the true message of Jews are supposed to be telling the world. JTF is telling the world what Jews were meant to tell the world. If you're proud to be part of that and you want to support that, then help us. Of course, we're going to be doing more videos. We're going to have a new video campaign. We're going to resist Obama and his policies. We're going to fight for the things we believe in and expose the truth. We're going to fight against those Republican turncoats and traitors that want to legalize the illegal aliens and all the terrible things they plan to do. We're going to fight against all that. And the odds again are against us. Yes, they are. We're also going to fight for the survival of Israel. Israel is in trouble now because of Obama's re-election. This was quite a blow to Israel. We're going to fight to try to persuade Israel to strike at that Iranian nuclear bomb-making factory. All difficult campaigns, but we have to do it. We have to speak out. We're obligated to speak out. Because if we're silent, then we're accessories to the crime. Anyone who's silent, anyone who's apathetic, anyone who doesn't do, is an accessory to the crime. At least if you speak out and try your best, when the judgment comes, you will be able to tell God, look, I tried. I tried. I spoke for the truth. I tried. And I want to thank those people who are so loyal to our movement and who will continue in this great fight. All the people who helped us and who continue to help us. Who continue to help us by supporting us when we do put out videos, by commenting and favoriting and mirroring the videos, by helping us with the website and with the forum, by helping us with credit card donations. Financial support is obviously essential. That's our big downfall, is our lack of financing, lack of a proper budget. That's our biggest downfall. All the wonderful JTFers who loyally on a regular basis help us with credit card donations. People should, by the way, I think people should set up regular, you can set up a regular system of making monthly or weekly donations to JTF with your credit card. And you won't even have to do anything. It'll automatically, the donations will automatically flow. You can set up something like that very easily. It takes a few minutes on what we offer you on JTF.org and Hayamin.org. People should do that. And I thank the wonderful JTFers who have been helping us with credit card donations, who've been going to our main page, JTF.org, or our main Hebrew page, Hayamin.org, doesn't matter. Either one, you have a donate button on top, and people can make donations with their credit cards. Takes a few minutes. Very, very simple, easy, and obviously very important and very helpful. And equally as much, I thank the wonderful JTFers who've been sending us their support through the regular mail, through checks, money orders, cash donations to our post office box. Those of you who have helped us, those of you who helped us get our message of truth out, you're doing a very blessed deed. And just because we lost in the end does not mean that we shouldn't have done it. It is important to tell the truth. Even if the majority don't accept the truth right now, it's important to tell the truth. If we weren't there telling the truth, no one else would. God expects us to tell the truth and be witnesses for the truth, even when it's unpopular, even when it's politically incorrect, even when the majority go against us. We must tell the truth and stand for the truth. Someday, the truth that we're telling, someday people will see we were right, and we'll have someone to turn to, and we'll remember that someone warned them. That's important. That's very important. And you have no idea, by the way, when you say a prayer, if you say a prayer and the prayer doesn't seem to be granted right away, your prayer did not go to waste. Your prayer still counts. You have no idea what your prayer, what good your prayer might have done. Maybe those of you that prayed for a Romney victory, maybe the Obama victory would have been even bigger if not for your prayers. Or maybe the credit for your prayer is going to be used in the future for some other event. God does that sometimes. Because God loves those who turn to Him and pray to Him with humility and who believe in Him and who pray for something that is righteous. So please, let's get involved now more than ever. Now more than ever, JTF is necessary. Now we've got this threat hanging over us of an Obama second term presidency. This is the time when now more than ever we've got to get in this fight if we want to survive. And you know that JTF is telling the truth, and you know that unfortunately the others are not, other groups are not telling the truth, and why it's so important that we succeed. You should thank God that you're part of a movement and that you're part of a campaign to tell the truth. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to be part of a movement that's telling the truth. A tremendous blessing. Anyway, God bless our wonderful JTFers. God bless you. I love you. And I love your loyalty and your truthfulness and your righteousness and your devotion to truth. And I know that God loves you. And we've got to keep fighting for what's right. And with God's help, we will still make a difference in this world. And the day will come when people will see that we were right. All right, let's go to questions from our great JTFers now. And we start off with the great Ruby Stars, our great moderator who writes, and I quote, "What are the most important steps we can take now that the election's over to make the future better for the USA, the West as a whole, and Israel?" Unquote. Okay, great question. I think that we have to try, Ruby Stars, to wake people up and to deliver the message that I spoke about in my opening, that we cannot give amnesty to illegal aliens, that we have to have a system where people from third world countries who come here will understand that they're going to be thrown out. I know that that is not the prevailing wind in Washington and that the odds are against us, but we have to stand up and say this. We've got to try as best we can to change the atmosphere here. There's no question, as usual, we're sailing against the wind and swimming against the tide, but we've got to do that. We're standing for the truth. And Ruby Stars, you'd be surprised at how many people out there agree with our message when they hear it. A lot of people agree with our message. The Republican base, the conservative base, actually agree with us. They don't agree with the Republican establishment. They don't want amnesty. So we have a lot of people out there who agree with us. If we could just get them to get behind us, we could become a powerful force for change. We've got to try our best, Ruby Stars. We've got to do that. We've got to try our best. And again, we've got to advocate realistic solutions. And one of them is to actually encourage the people in Europe, which is facing a depression right now, people there are desperate, encourage them to move to the United States, create incentives for them to move to the United States. That would save America. If you had tens of millions of white Europeans coming to America, those are hardworking people, they're well-educated people, and they, in the end, most of them would vote Republican and be conservatives in the end, even if they came from socialist countries. They come here and see what's going on here, they will not be socialists. Most of them won't be. And we know that from history. We know that from what happened in the past century when they came here. because they came from socialist countries in the past century, and still, they came here, they became right-wing. So we've got to offer real solutions, and we've got to stand for the truth, and hope. And by the way, one thing, Ruby Stars, that's very important to remember, that I didn't actually mention in my opening, and your question gives me a chance to mention that. What's the hope? It seems people think it's so hopeless. There is a hope we have. We have one shot. We have one shot here. And you know what that shot is? You know what our chance is? Obama's policies are doomed to fail. And his disastrous failures might create a backlash. There may be a backlash against him because of his disastrous failures. So it's not over yet. It's not completely over yet. There may yet be a backlash against Obama that could still give us a shot. So that's something we should be hoping and praying for, that there is a backlash, and we should be pushing and trying to create that backlash. And we should be trying to wake people up right now. You ask also about Israel. Obviously, Israel, we've got to wake the people of Israel up. That's essential. And you know that we're going to be doing that with an extensive campaign of our Hebrew videos. That's going to be very, very important. Anyway, thank you very much, Ruby Stars. And now we go to the great Yimach Shmo to Obama, who writes, and I quote, "Why do the Chinese face discrimination in both Muslim-majority Malaysia and Indonesia?" Unquote. Okay, great question, Yimach Shmo. And the answer is because Muslims hate anyone who is not exactly like them. They even hate their own people. Look at how they mistreat their own people. But if anyone is in any way different, even if they're fellow Muslims, and the Chinese are not fellow Muslims, but even if they were fellow Muslims, if they're in any way different, Muslims persecute them and massacre them. Look at the Sudan. In the Sudan, the Arab Muslims in the north slaughtered hundreds of thousands of black Muslims in the south. It's true that they killed over 2 million Christians in the southern part of the Sudan. But they also killed several hundred thousand of their fellow Muslims just because they were black. So Muslims hate anyone who does not come from their ethnicity, their tribe. That's the nature. And then even within their tribe and even within their ethnicity, they kill each other. That's what Islam breeds: hatred, murder, cruelty, and genocide. Anyway, thank you so much, Yimach Shmo. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "Do you think there will be an all-out confrontation with Islam anytime soon?" Unquote. I have no doubt that there's going to be an all-out confrontation with Islam. The Bible and the prophets tell us that there's going to be an all-out confrontation with Islam. Gog, the war of Gog and Magog involves Yishmael, involves Islam. Now, the rabbis teach us that Islam is going to be involved in that. There definitely will be a confrontation. When that will happen, when the all-out confrontation, the all-out world war will occur, which is going to come eventually, I don't know the answer to. I just don't know the answer to that. But someday it's going to happen. I don't know if it'll happen in our lifetime. I have no idea. But it is going to happen someday. That is for certain. Anyway, thank you, Tag Mechir. And now we go to the great Dr. Dan, our great global moderator and the great voice of wisdom, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "One, if God holds people accountable for who they vote, what about people ruled by monarchies?" Unquote. Okay, great question, Dr. Dan. Even in a monarchy, people have free will within their lives, within their own world, to do certain things that are important, that they'll be held accountable for. Okay, they can't vote. Maybe they can't vote, but there are other things they can do. There are other things they can do in their life. How do they treat their families? What do they do in their communities? What do they stand for? What is their relationship with God? What is their attitude toward the Jewish people, God's people? All of those are issues that everybody in the world, everybody in the world in one way or another, is going to be confronted by. So even though they can't vote, you can't measure what they're doing by voting, you can measure what they're doing by other things, by their attitudes, their behavior, their relationships, their faith. And so, of course, there are many other ways where people are going to be held accountable for their behavior, obviously. And Dr. Dan now writes, "Two, should we curse Esav?" Unquote. Well, Esav generally has been evil. He's generally known as an evil character. And, of course, the descendants of Esav, in many cases, have been very evil and very cruel to the Jewish people. But it depends. Depends on the behavior. There are some individuals who are descendants of Esav who are cruel and evil, and they're our enemies. And there is a minority of them that are not. And the minority that are not, of course, we don't curse. So I think it depends upon whom we're speaking about. Anyway, thank you very much, Dr. Dan. Great questions, as always. And now we go to Catnip, who is relatively new on the forum. And I once again want to welcome you to the forum, Catnip. Catnip writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim and JTF. Will Barack, insane Osama, and the spendocrats throw America over the fiscal cliff and plunge the world into a depression, unquote? I think that a deal is going to be made on the fiscal cliff. I don't think the fiscal cliff is going to occur. I think they're going to make a deal, because I think that Obama and the Republicans in Congress are terrified of that. But the problem is, I think the deal they're going to make is going to be a bad deal. I think they're going to raise taxes. And they're going to say increasing revenue, all these code words they use. America is overtaxed. America's not undertaxed. The problem isn't that we're not taxing people enough. The problem is we're taxing people too much and spending too much. America is grossly overtaxed. And so to raise taxes even more is not going to be a solution, but I'm sure that they're going to do that. I'm sure they're going to do that, and you know, and we'll see what else they come up with. But I don't think that they're going to come up with adequate. I'm sure they're not going to come up with adequate solutions because as you describe him, Barack insane Osama is opposed to real solutions and real reforms that could save the country fiscally. And so I do think the United States eventually is going to eventually have to reckon with a terrible economic crisis. I do believe that's coming. Anyway, thank you very much, Catnip. And now we go to the great Selhar. Oh, and by the way, Catnip, I think that we should certainly be saying to Republicans that they should not accept any tax increases. They should not accept tax increases. If Obama wants to make a deal, it's got to be based on spending cuts, not tax increases. Anyway, thank you, Catnip. And now we go to the great Selhar, who writes, and I quote, and Selhar, of course, is, by the way, Selhar is active on both the Hebrew and the English forums. Selhar writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, I am concerned that in the next elections, America will swing to a new extreme and elect Rand Paul. What do you think? Unquote. I think Rand Paul is a dangerous person. I don't think he's going to win the next election. I don't think that's going to happen, but there's no question that he's a dangerous person. I think his libertarianism goes against what most people in the Republican base support. And so I think he would have a hard time winning the Republican presidential nomination. But is he a danger? Does he represent a dangerous phenomenon? No question about it. He is a danger. He can influence things in a very dangerous way. So there's no doubt that he does represent a threat. That is certain. Anyway, thank you very much, Selhar. And I do think he's going to run, by the way. I do think he's going to run in 4 years. Anyway, thank you, Selhar. And now we go to the great British Sword, who writes, and I quote, were you half expecting the result like I was, unquote? Yes, British Sword, I certainly was. I certainly was expecting it. And, you know, people recall every week I said the odds are against us and we're fighting an uphill battle and this is going to be a very tough campaign. I certainly didn't want people to be discouraged, and I didn't want to tell them it's hopeless, because it wasn't hopeless. It was not hopeless. You know, in the end, the election was 51% to 48%. That's not hopeless. If Romney got 48% of the vote, it means it was winnable. It was possible to win. But I knew the odds were against us, unfortunately, because of the way the Republicans and Romney were running things. And now British Sword writes, and I quote, oh, well, on to plan B. You have my support. The entire British Empire condensed into one man, unquote. British Sword, for sure, that's very important, because you really are a one-man army. British Sword is like a one-man army. That really is true. That really is true. Thank you so much, British Sword. And now we go to the great PJC, who writes, and I quote, "Hello, Chaim. Due to the fact that Mitt Romney lost because of the Latino vote, would you support Marco Rubio in 2016 in an attempt to win that vote?" Unquote. No, absolutely not. Marco Rubio represents those who want America to open up the borders, to give amnesty. That's the end of the United States. I do not support Marco Rubio. If he wins the Republican nomination, you know, now what are we going to do? You know, he would probably be the lesser of the evils against Hillary Clinton, because she looks like she's the heavy favorite to win the Democrat nomination. But do I want to see that? Do I want to see him as the Republican nominee? Absolutely not. PJC, we're not going to win the Latino vote. We're not going to win the majority of the Latino vote. What has to be done, as I said in my opening, is to dramatically increase the white vote, and then take realistic steps to reverse the demographic descent of the United States. America demographically is committing suicide. That has to be reversed, and there are realistic ways to do it, which I outlined in my opening, and I think that's what we have to be advocating. Anyway, thank you very much, PJC. By the way, the candidate that I support in 2016 would be Mike Huckabee. And his positions are not the greatest positions on immigration, even though he claims to support the positions of the Minutemen now and move to the right on that issue. I hope that's true. But Mike Huckabee, because he is so pro-Israel, he's the most pro-Israel politician in America. God will bless America if America is pro-Israel. If America does what Mike Huckabee says America should do when it comes to Israel, he says he's going to pressure Israel not to retreat, not to surrender, to increase the number of Jews in Judea and Samaria. If America had a president like that, God would bless America tremendously. Then America would have a real chance of prevailing on all these issues. So if Mike Huckabee runs, and I'm not sure at all that he's going to run, but if he does run, he is the candidate that I would really prefer in 2016. Anyway, thank you, PJC. And now we go to the great Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, I thought I would never know what it is like to live in a dictatorship. I do now, unquote. Chicago Jew, you're absolutely right, because we have the tyranny of a left-wing news media that does not give a fair hearing on any issue to both sides. Everything is rigged. The flow of information is rigged, and that is a dictatorial type of system. The political correctness is a form of dictatorship. It's true they don't put people in prison right now for saying things that are politically incorrect. They're not putting JTF in, they're not coming and arresting members of JTF. But what they do is make sure that the public, that the vast majority of the public, is not exposed to what JTF is saying, and that the vast majority of the public only sees what they want them to see. And so there is a dictatorship of the news media, a dictatorship of the left, a dictatorship of the politically correct, a dictatorship of the two establishment parties. There is a dictatorial system in that respect. And Barack Hussein Obama, in many ways, does represent, I mean, he represents the ultimate consequence of that. Anyway, thank you, Chicago Jew. And now the great Confederate Kahanist, who fought so loyally and so hard with us in this campaign, did a great job. God bless Confederate Kahanist. Confederate Kahanist writes now, and I quote, "Do you think the election was stolen? I do. There were reports that Romney ballots were purged and thrown away, such as in the case in Glendale, California," unquote. Absolutely. Absolutely the election was stolen. Obama won, supposedly, by 3 million votes. Right? And the margin was very narrow in some of the key electoral college states like Ohio, Florida, Virginia, Colorado. The election was close in those states. Now, here is what I know happened. I know someone that I tried, I'll give you an example. I know someone that all of you know, I don't want to say who it is, but someone who tried to register to vote, okay, and sent his voter registration application in, which is what you're required to do by mail. That's what they require you to do. He checked off, though, Republican on it, because you have to check off which party you want to register under. He checked off Republican. They claim they never received it. They just, you know, you go to a board of elections in New York, all of the employees there are black. I mean, they just ripped it up. They saw a Republican, they just ripped it up. And then when he called and he tried and he wanted to send it again, and they said, now it's too late, you can't. All right, that's just one incident. Another incident that occurred. And by the way, let me explain to you how this would work on a massive scale. Tens of millions of people vote now early. Many of them vote through what's called absentee ballots. And I have no doubt that when people mail in those when you mail in an absentee ballot, you're assuming that the people in the election, people working for the Board of Elections in your state, are going to be honest enough to count your vote, to put it in and count your vote. But if you go to the Board of Elections in most states, 80-90% of the people that work there are black. You think they're honestly counting and honestly putting in the votes when they get a vote from some white suburban community? Are you kidding me? I guarantee you there's hanky-panky going on, that they're destroying a lot of those votes. I will bet you anything that huge numbers of Romney votes were destroyed. I'll also bet you anything there was massive voter fraud. Massive voter fraud. That huge numbers of blacks, for instance, voted more than once. And that, you know, when you just mail in a ballot, when you mail in for absentee voting, you know how easy it is to mail in a fraudulent ballot? You know how easy it is to register somebody? Acorn can register people that don't exist and then mail in ballots for them. You know how easy that is to do? I mean, I can guarantee you that took place on a wide scale. There was massive voter fraud. Massive voter fraud. 52 people have already been arrested for voter fraud, and that's when nobody's investigating, nobody's even... That's just they got caught by accident. I mean, there was massive voter fraud. I have no doubt in my mind that if this election had been honest, Mitt Romney would have won. If it had been an honest election, Mitt Romney would have won. Now, does that mean it was impossible for us to win because it's all rigged? No, it wasn't impossible for us to win, because you can only destroy a certain number of ballots. If Romney had gotten many more votes, they wouldn't have been able to prevent his victory, even though there was fraud. So if we had done better, they would not have been able to prevent his victory, if we had done better. But when there's a difference of only 3 million votes out of 120 million votes cast, and there's massive voter fraud, and you're destroying ballots of Romney people sending in absentee ballots, which is many millions of votes that are being sent in by absentee ballot, people are voting twice, people that don't exist are voting because it's all mailed in. And when you have a situation like that, of course that leads to great, tremendous voter fraud. You had precincts in this country. Predominantly black precincts were Republican poll workers because you're supposed to have Republican poll workers watching and Democrat poll workers. You're supposed to have poll workers from both parties watching to make sure everything is being done honestly. You know that they threatened and threw the Republican poll workers out in many of these districts so that there was no one from the Republican side, no one from the Romney side to see that they were counting things honestly. And those districts wound up voting 99% for Obama with gigantic vote totals that were completely unrealistic. You better believe there was a lot of voter fraud. There's no doubt about that. When I went with members of my family, with other people in my family, we all went together to vote. First of all, they put us they put us far away from the usual voting place. They changed our place where we're supposed to vote. All of a sudden, we get a notice in the mail: you don't vote here anymore. You got to vote someplace that's far away from your house. They did this to the Orthodox Jews because they know Orthodox Jews usually vote Republican. So in the Orthodox Jewish area, the Jews are not allowed to go to the school, which is just 4 or 5 blocks from the house. They have a school a few blocks from the house. You're not allowed to vote there. Instead, you got to go to a place which is a mile and a half from your house. That's number one. That's the first thing they do to try to make things inconvenient. Then when we went there, and it's in an area where there are a lot of blacks, then when we went there to vote, the first thing, the blacks sitting there, the blacks are the ones sitting there and they control everything there. When we went there, the first thing they said is, you don't vote here. No, you can't vote. You don't vote here. And they were saying this to all the white people and all the Orthodox Jews. They were telling them, you don't vote here.
Mm-mm, you don't vote here. This is not, no, no, you don't vote over here. No, no, no.
Now, a lot of people who are late for work or were coming, you know, whatever, a lot of people will accept that and just go home and not vote. We insisted, so, you know, they had to look it up and they found that we do vote there, so because we insisted. But if we hadn't insisted, they were going to deny us the right to vote. This happened to me and members of my family. And happened to many Orthodox Jews, and this is in New York, which isn't even a swing state. You can imagine in the swing states where every vote counts, what the hanky-panky that was going on. I mean, I saw example after example of this. There is no question that there was voter fraud on a massive scale, that votes were stolen. There is no question that results were changed in this election and that votes were stolen. And it doesn't take much in an election where it's a 51-48 election. A swing of a couple of points would have given Romney the election. It doesn't take much. So yes, this election was stolen. You better believe it. And what a disgrace. Shame on the Republicans that they're not making an issue of this. That they accept this. Shame on them. We should make an issue of this. Anyway, thank you very much, Confederate Kahanist. And now we go to the great Israeli Heart, who writes, and I quote, Besiata Dishmaya. Please explain how God hardened Pharaoh Obama's heart at the UN, not meeting Bibi, as well as about the plague of Hail Sandy, unquote. Well, you know, Obama couldn't meet Bibi at the UN because he had a more important appointment with The View, meeting Barbara Walters and what's the name of that ugly beast on that show? What's the name of that horrible woman? Goldberg. What's her name? What's her name? She took a Jewish. I mean, that's not her original name, obviously. She looks like Michelle Obama. Another lovely example. You know, they all say Michelle Obama is so lovely. She's so attractive. She's so lovely. She's so lovely. She's so exquisite. This is what the New York Nazi Times says about her. I mean, please. That other Queen Kong on The View. Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, her name is Whoopi Goldberg. That's Queen Kong the second. Queen Kong the first is Michelle Obama. Anyway, Obama had to meet. He had to go on The View, and then he had to do David Letterman. So he didn't have time to meet with Bibi Netanyahu and other leaders, other world leaders who came here. That's understandable. I mean, going on the David Letterman show is more important than meeting with world leaders who want to talk to you about a potential nuclear holocaust. And of course, he got away with that because can you imagine if a Republican president had behaved like this? Can you imagine what the media would have done? They protected everything that this Muslim Jew hater does. They covered up for him. They protected him. What a media. What a scandal we have in this country. As far as Sandy is concerned, God clearly was punishing us. There's no question. This was a punishment. Sandy was a punishment. Because Sandy helped Obama get reelected. Sandy stopped Romney's momentum in the polls and took the story away from Romney and turned it to how Obama supposedly taking care. Obama didn't do anything for the people who were affected by Sandy, but the media made it out like he's saving the people who were affected by Hurricane Sandy. And that animal, that filthy animal, Chris Christie, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who went walking with Obama on the beach and on the Jersey Shore and praising Obama so effusively, that helped Obama tremendously in the election. God, there's no question that God was punishing us. God is upset. God is upset with the politically correct lies and garbage and the betrayal of Israel and all the terrible things that are taking place. I mean, this is Obama is a punishment. Sandy was a punishment. These are punishments. Things like this don't just happen. Terrible things don't just happen. things are not by chance. They don't happen just by chance. God controls everything that happens in the world, and there's always a reason. Anyway, thank you very much, Israeli Heart. And now we go to the great Brennan fan, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please give some magic words for the beautiful, proud Jewess, Sarah Slaughterman. Thank you much, unquote. Well, you know, this evil beast who spends her time raising money for Obama and defending Obama with all of her dirty jokes and all of her obscene acts that she puts on. She is just grotesque. And she's typical. She's typical of the evil, self-hating Jews. This is everything that JTF was created to fight against. JTF is fighting against these forces of evil. You see, JTF is what the Jewish people are supposed to be. Willing to go against the popular culture and stand for what's right. Stand for morals and truth and decency, even if it's unpopular. That's what the Jewish people are supposed to do. But this beast, together with the other Hollywood beasts and the news media beasts, they not only do they not fight against evil, they are the leaders in the campaign for evil. They're the leaders of the evil mob. They encourage and incite the evil mob. I mean, this evil, horrible woman who was born Jewish devotes her life to promoting wicked causes. It's a terrible tragedy. It really is. But someday, truth and justice will still prevail, Brennan fan. Someday that will happen. Let there be no doubt. Anyway, thank you, Brennan fan. And now we go to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, why did Asians overwhelmingly vote for the Democratic Party, unquote? Okay, great question. Asians were voting Republican until the 1990s. In the 1990s, they began to vote overwhelmingly Democrat. Until then, they voted Republican. And their vote, and this is because of the immigration issue. They want to have looser rules permitting people from China and other countries in Asia to come to the United States. And because of immigration, they're voting Democrat. Because Asians do not, by the way, Asians do not like black people. And, you know, Chinese and Koreans and others, they have businesses in black neighborhoods. People who have businesses in black neighborhoods do not like black people usually. Overwhelmingly do not like them. And, you know, they were voting Republican. They were by solid majorities supporting the Republicans during the Reagan years, even after that. But in the 90s, they became Democrats because of the immigration issue. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Hopefully, we'll be able to get them back. Hopefully, we'll be able to get them back to supporting sane causes and to understanding that the America that they're coming to and the America that they want to have opportunity in is not going to be America anymore if the Democrat Party continues to win elections. Anyway, thank you very much, Maimonides. And now we go to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, how much of a factor do you think Mitt Romney's Mormon religion led to him getting fewer total votes than John McCain in 2008, unquote? I think it was a factor, EB22. If you recall, we warned about that in both 2008 when Romney was running and in the primaries in 2012. We warned that the fact that Romney was a Mormon was going to hurt him with evangelical Christian voters. And I do believe it was a factor. I know evangelical Christians. I know evangelical Christians who, despite the fact that they agreed with Romney on the issues and they were very much against Obama, refused to vote for Romney because he was a Mormon. I know of people who did that. I know of instances of people who said, who even claimed to agree with JTF, but said, no, I'm not going to vote for a Mormon. This is a demonic religion. It's a cult. They refused to vote for Romney because of his Mormon background. It was one of the reasons, and I know people thought this was terrible that we were saying this, but it's one of the reasons why we said it's a mistake to nominate Romney. We knew that this was going to depress voter turnout. The evangelical Christians are the most important part of the Republican base. They are the key part of the Republican base. The best candidate for the evangelical Christian vote would be Mike Huckabee. They love, they adore Mike Huckabee. He's the best. He would get a gigantic, unprecedented turnout among the evangelical Christians. It's true that he would also lose votes among other people that are turned off by that, but at least among the evangelicals, the turnout would be gigantic. So in swing states like Florida, where you have a huge evangelical community in northern Florida, Huckabee's vote would be gigantic in northern Florida. Huckabee's vote would be tremendous in southern Ohio, where you have a gigantic evangelical community. In Virginia, in parts of Virginia, rural Virginia, huge numbers of evangelicals. North Carolina, Huckabee would have advantages in those places. But anyway, they decided to nominate Romney anyway. This is what we were stuck with. And I do believe, EB, that you're correct. I believe that the Mormon, the fact that he's a Mormon did indeed hurt him and did suppress voter turnout. Anyway, thank you very much, EB. And now we go to the great secular believer who writes, and I quote, "What do you think of the idea of a state such as Texas seceding from the USA and setting up a limited government nation?" Unquote. It's not going to happen, secular believer. It's not going to happen. Texas, first of all, Texas is already majority non-white. If anything, Texas is about to become part of Mexico again. Whites are about 46% or 45-46% of the population in Texas. Texas is 54 or 55% non-white. So, if anything, the state is not what we think it is. Now, does the state vote Republican in this past election? For instance, Mitt Romney got 57% of the vote in Texas. Why does the state vote Republican if it's majority non-white? Because many of the non-whites in Texas are not American citizens right now. Many of them are illegal aliens. Others are just people working here with green cards. Many of the non-whites in Texas are not citizens. So the vast majority of people who are citizens are white. And the whites who are citizens are overwhelmingly conservative Republican. That's why Texas still votes Republican. But that will change. When they give amnesty to all the illegal aliens and they open up the borders, that's going to change very fast. That will change very fast. By the way, interesting, John McCain did better in Texas than Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney got only 57% of the vote in Texas. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm mistaken. John McCain got 55%. Romney actually did better in Texas than McCain. I'm mistaken. I'm sorry about that. But still, Romney should have gotten more than 57% of the vote in Texas. A lot of evangelicals in Texas didn't turn out for him. Anyway, it's just another issue which is of importance in terms of the popular vote. But Texas is not going to secede from the Union. Those things are not going to happen. And that's not an answer. I mean, we've got to address the demographic crisis, the demographic time bomb in this country. It's got to be addressed realistically and intelligently, and that's not being done right now. Anyway, thank you very much, secular believer. And now the great Say No to Islam writes, and I quote, "Please debunk the Nazi myth that the Jews are allegedly pushing Muslim immigration into Western countries," unquote. Yeah, well, the Nazis always blame the Jews for everything. I suppose the 51% of the American people that voted for Obama were all Jews. That's true that Jews also voted for Obama. 70%, by the way. Obama got 70% of the Jewish vote, unfortunately. But the Jews are only 2% of the voters. So the majority of non-Jewish voters in this country voted for Obama. And even among Republicans who voted for Romney, many Republicans, Sean Hannity, Rupert Murdoch, Speaker John Boehner, last time I checked, none of them are Jewish. They're all pushing for third world immigration into Western countries. Now, as far as Muslim immigration, the Nazis are talking about Muslim immigration into Western countries. I thought the Nazis support the Muslims. The Nazis are always saying how they back the Muslims. The Nazis supported 9/11. The Nazis support Al-Qaeda. The Nazis were celebrating after 9/11. They thought it was great. The Nazis back the Muslims, and the Muslims back the Nazis. So who's kidding whom? I mean, the Nazis want the Muslims in Western countries. Just like the Nazis all voted for Obama and all supported Obama. Yes, Nazis voted for a black Muslim president. They want him. I can assure you, David Duke and all the Nazis voted for Barack Hussein Obama. They spent all their time in 2008 knocking John McCain, all their time this year knocking Mitt Romney, and basically saying people should vote for Obama. So they're the ones who's... The Nazis support Obama. They support the Muslims. They support Islam. They support Muslim immigration. Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemov Zichro, praised Islam in his book, Mein Kampf. He praised Islam. It was the only religion he praised. He attacked Christianity. He attacked Judaism. But he praised Islam. So, I mean, who's kidding whom here? On the one hand, they support the Muslims. They support 9/11. They support Al-Qaeda. They support the destruction of Israel. They support politicians and leaders that make it possible for the Muslims to take over. And on the other hand, they blame the Jews then for the consequences of the policies that these traitors are supporting. Anyway, thank you, Say No to Islam. Great point you're making. And now we go to the great Ephraim, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, if the truth comes out about Benghazi, or there was massive voter fraud, do you think we're too far gone for impeachment, unquote. Unfortunately, I don't think Obama's going to be impeached. I'm sure he's not, because the Republicans don't have the guts to even suggest that, or 95% of them would never have the guts to suggest impeachment. They wouldn't even tell the truth about him in the campaign. They're certainly not going to try to impeach him. But, Ephraim, you raise an important point. We should push for the truth about Benghazi. We should push for the truth about what happened with David Petraeus. We should push for the truth in all of these scandals, including massive voter fraud. We should be pushing for that truth. Even if the Republican establishment doesn't, we should. You're absolutely right. Obama's not going to get impeached. But we do want to weaken him, and we want to fight against him, and we want to resist his policies as much as possible. Because the more we fight against him and the more resistance there is to his policies, the better things are. We don't want him rolling over everybody, because then the situation is going to be very bad very quickly. So we should be pushing for exposés on all of these subjects, and we should be fighting to make sure that all of these subjects are fully investigated and that the results of those investigations are revealed to the American people. Absolutely, Ephraim. Anyway, thank you, Ephraim. And I want to thank all of our great members. This is going to be a long fight. But remember, God is stronger than Barack Hussein Obama. God is stronger than the news media and the Democrat Party and the labor unions and the NAACP and the self-hating Jews in Hollywood. And the sellout Republicans. God is stronger than all of those that create so many problems and such hardship in the world. And we will stand for the truth, fight for the truth, and fight for what's right. Someday you'll see that all the things we've been fighting for were worth fighting for. It will make a difference. And we are obligated to stand up and never be silent. And so God bless our great JTFers that are with us in this fight. Together, we can still make a difference to make this a better world. And if there's a backlash against Obama because his policies fail, we still have a chance at turning this thing around. Until next week, Shalom.